This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Lentils are everything is the name of one of the dishes on the menu at Rhizome Cafe. And while they may be tasty, their real distinction is that there's no price on them, just a request to pay as you feel. The organizers of Rhizome Cafe are consciously trying to challenge the notion of a regular cafe and create a space for building community. Lisa Moore is one of the owners of Rhizome Cafe, and she's joined me on the phone, taking a break from the busy kitchen, but still wearing her apron and bandana, from what I understand. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Peter.
Now, the origin of Rhizome Cafe goes back much further than the almost 2 years you've been in existence. What did your early vision look like?
I'll have to say that my partner, Vinetta, this is something that has been a lifelong dream or vision that she's had since she was a kid, actually. So she's always had this idea of wanting to create a community space, a sort of like a, in a way, she always used to talk about it as a living room or a shared kind of coming together space for people to share resources and used for all kinds of different purposes. And so it wasn't even clear that this was going to become a restaurant. The thought of food came later, but it was part of her vision to create a space that could be different things at different moments for different people, but be a shared resource. And so we started talking about that and thinking about how can we create a space that is self-sustaining and that can do those things. And then I've been for many years before coming here to Vancouver in California, was a community organizer and was doing a lot of political work around immigrant rights issues and racial justice issues. And so then I started thinking, how could this be a place that could be a resource to social movements as well? And so we started thinking in the very abstract terms and then came down to creating a cafe that could be all of those things and that could support itself by providing food.
Now, so you, like, that sounds very loose and flexible, and you arrive in Vancouver, and how did you get community input to that vision of yours?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we were thinking about this in the abstract, we thought about this when we were very much a part of communities and networks in San Francisco before we moved here. And then when we moved here, we realized that the need for a community space actually became very personal, because we moved here knowing nobody. We knew not a single person when we moved here 4 years ago, and we realized that we suddenly became very disconnected from our neighbors, from our community, from coming from a place of being, having an identity as a part of a movement, and then all of a sudden being in a vacuum in a way. We started talking to people just in the building where we live. We started talking to people in the laundromat. We started talking to people in different community groups that we were kind of exploring, and found that people also had this need, especially people who had come from somewhere else, that there was a need for connection, a need to find kind of a heartbeat or a pulse or something that connected us to each other. So we just started these very informal conversations and started looking for an actual physical location, but that took a lot longer than we thought. It took us about 2 years before we actually found this space that we work in now. So we started getting involved in things. I started getting involved with Co-op Radio, actually, as a way of figuring out who was out there who might be able to be a part of this thing that we had a very loose idea of. We actually surveyed people. We surveyed people that are part of community groups that we became in contact with, but we also surveyed people at the laundromat and at the bus stop, and we just started having a lot of conversations with people and asking them, is this something that you would want to be a part of? If we were to create a community space, are you a part of a group that might be able to use it for events or for discussions or fundraisers or whatever? Or would you use it to hold workshops? Or would you even come here to eat? And what kind of food would you want to eat? And what kind of chairs would you want to sit on? And what kind of... So we had these very, very extensive conversations with people for about 2 years before we even opened. So to the point that when we opened, we already had about 300 people on our email list who had been consulted from, you know, a year and a half or 2 years prior to opening, and felt like they had already had input before we even opened. So it's kind of a snowballing sort of thing of talking to more and more and more people while we went through this very long process of trying to find a space and trying to get loans that we to get the money that we needed to open this place.
Can you give me any sense of how people responded to your surveys, both formal and informal?
Yeah, I mean, people had all kinds of ideas. It's really, I was amazed at the level of detail of people's responses. I kind of thought people would say, oh, you know, why are you bothering me with these questions? I don't even know who you are. You don't know who I am. But people had so many suggestions from, you know, even down to the kind of lighting and the kind of colors and the kind of sensations that they wanted to have or that would make them feel at home and make them feel that it was a place that was theirs, down to, you know, the kinds of organizing events and the kinds of spaces that people needed to be able to, say, have a film screening and panel discussion and the, you know, various criteria around technical stuff that would make that work. So it was a huge range of both sort of political concerns and very, very human sensory needs.
Now, you've been open now for nearly 2 years. How's the reality fit with what you earlier envisaged and what the people you talked to wanted?
When we were talking about these things, it was all very abstract, and we said, you know, when we wrote out this business plan and we were looking for financing, and we were saying, you know, yes, we know that there are people out there who will hold events, or we know that there are people out there who will have workshops or who will perform, but in the abstract, that's all very flat, and in reality, it's been more than we could ever have envisioned. So from saying someone will have a workshop here, to then seeing in our little meeting space that there is a guerrilla gardening group having a moss graffiti workshop, which is something that's just beyond and above and beyond anything I could have ever thought of, and there they are doing a guerrilla gardening workshop. And so I think that's more than anything, that's just the range of ideas that people have brought to this space. It's just mind-boggling, and it's more than we ever could have dreamed of. And I guess, you know, we had sort of thought, well, maybe there'll be maybe one event a week or a couple of events a month, and now the demand is so great that we have four events every single week almost all year long of just a huge array of groups, from youth groups to migrant rights and anti-colonial organizing groups to all kinds of things, a lot of queer community events, a lot of Latin American social movement support events, all kinds of things that just bring it to life. And I think we never could have dreamed how many different communities would come together and see this as their space.
How does the pay what you feel lentil dish fit in with that bigger picture you're painting?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we have struggled with, or that I have struggled with as an activist and as someone who sees myself as sort of profoundly based in anti-capitalist ideas. It's been a struggle for me thinking about how to run something that is fundamentally a business. It's self-supporting in the sense that it's selling food, yet at the same time, it's part of an anti-capitalist movement or a sort of discussion place, or a place where a lot of discussion happens around envisioning alternatives to capitalism. And it was a challenge for me to think, how can we challenge what is considered to be the norm? How can we try out different models of economy? And so we had this idea. We heard about a restaurant that in New Zealand or in Australia that where everything on the menu is on a pay-as-you-feel system. So it asking people not just to pay what they can, but to think about their relationship to other people in the space, to think about what they can do to continue the existence of that space so that everyone can enjoy it. And so we decided to try this with one dish and see how it goes, and then possibly expand it to other things in the future. But as a way of making this space accessible to anyone who wants to be here so that everyone can eat here, and also as a way of trying out something new, trying out a new kind of economy within these four walls, and to prove that it can work.
What are the plans that you have for the future?
Well, to keep doing a lot of the same and to keep building these kinds of relationships with people, and the pay-as-you-feel lentils, I think, is just the start of the kinds of things that we can try here, and to try on a small scale. And that's what's exciting to me, is to use this as a place to try out new ideas and see how they work. It's kind of a low-risk social experiment, because we can always change things or let them evolve as we go along. And we're collaborating with a group of people who are putting together a discussion series in our meeting room on the commons and on ways of creating shared resource networks and networks of mutual aid, both in our day-to-day lives and in how we interact with each other around food, around healthcare, around education. And so we're putting together this discussion series that will be open to anyone who is interested in participating and talking about ways to build common shared spaces. So that's something that's coming up and is starting on May 7th. It's going to be on Wednesday evenings for about 8 weeks or so. And hopefully out of that discussion series will come new ideas of new things that we can try here and see how they work.
Well, thanks very much for talking to me about it this morning.
Thank you, Peter.
Much appreciated. I've been talking with Lisa Moore. Lisa Moore is the co-owner and organizer of Rhizome Cafe. You can read about the cafe and upcoming events at rhizomecafe.ca. And the cafe is, of course, located at Kingsway and Broadway, opposite Kingsgate Mall.